Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. The message title this morning is, I believe it's time to grow up. I believe it's time to grow up. Father God, we love you. We thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for our kids' ministries. Thank you, Lord, so much for them doing such a great job. Thank you for those who volunteer and help. God, bless this message this morning on spiritual maturity, on spiritual growth. Lord, there'll be challenging things to hear and preach, and even more challenging things to live out as believers, as disciples of you. So give us grace to hear it today. Keep us safe from distraction. We love you and thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I believe it's time to grow up is the message today. Now, I love my kids. I love my kids. I have four boys, and really five if you count my adopted son Drake in the military. I love my boys that God's gifted me with. I love hanging out with them. I love spending time with them. I like making them laugh. I like making them do chores around the house so I don't have to now that they're old enough. I love my kids. I love being a dad. I love stuff like we just did. I got to do children's ministry before I was a youth pastor for teenagers. And even while I was a youth pastor in Michigan, I still was in charge of the children's ministries, the elementary age kids. I love doing the fun songs and giving out prizes and being goofy. I used to have a ventriloquist dummy that I would use in the class. Pretty creepy, sure, but it was fun. The kids loved it. And I did puppet shows. I love that stuff. I think the reason I love my kids so much and love doing those because I loved being a kid. I loved growing up. I had a great childhood. Many of you maybe didn't have the best childhood, and for that, I'm so sorry. But the Lord, really, it was a gift that I had great parents that stayed together, and they weren't perfect, and I sure wasn't perfect. But I had a great childhood. I loved being a kid. There's no bills when you're a kid. There's no deadlines when you're a kid. There's no job to work besides your chores. You just hung out and played video games and followed your parents around, and they paid for everything, and you got to eat a lot of snacks. I love being a kid. It's great. But here's the truth. I couldn't stay there forever. Now, I think there's a picture. Is there a picture in the next one? Look at that. You know who that is?
You?
Yeah. Isn't he cute? He's a cute kid. Cute kid. Go to the next one, Bob. See, we're gonna work through this. Listen, that actually matches Izzy's shirt today. His is much more stylish than my mother dressed me when I was back in 1991. But I love being a kid. One more. This is the best one of all. Come on. Yeah. With the high white socks. Now they're coming back into style, by the way, right? Yeah. Yeah, with the wicker. Gotta love the wicker, all right? I love being a kid. My mom still makes me feel like a kid sometimes. So I don't care how old you get, Donald. I'm still buying your birthday gift, even if you're 36 years old. They just sent me a Lego set for my birthday. My parents did. It was an adult Lego set, but it'll be fun. But I love being a kid. It was great. Go to the next one, Donald. I loved it. But here's the thing. That little guy in the wicker chair, I couldn't stay there forever. That little baby with the little train shirt on and diapers, I couldn't stay there forever. I had to grow up. When you're a child, listen, people expect you to depend on others. It's normal. That's what children do. Children are dependent. That's why on your tax form, they're called dependents. And that's okay. But at some point, you have to take responsibility. Now, we're not even into the spiritual stuff yet. I'm talking about just kids and adults. There is a point as a person, whether you're a young man or a young lady, you have to grow up. There is a point when you no longer legally are a dependent. So in those areas of life, it's time to grow up. It's time to mature. At some point in your life, you have to take responsibility. You have to mature. You have to grow up. You can't spend the rest of your life with everybody doing everything for you. We are called as individuals, as people on this earth, to mature and grow up. And begin to take care of others often. And that's exactly what God is saying to his children through Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 2, when he says that as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Lord, that ye may grow thereby. God is saying to his children, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. There are Christians that have been saved, that have known Jesus for years, even decades, yet they still act like spiritual infants. They need constant attention or they're going to just lose it. They need a constant reassurance. They need constant correction, but they never take initiative on themselves to grow. It's time to grow up. The Word of God tells us that salvation starts us as newborn babes, those baby Christians they call them. The Scriptures say that. But the Spirit of God and the Word of God are meant to grow us. If you are the same Christian that you were 10 years later after you got saved and gave your heart to Jesus, you're not growing. We are called to growth. You were born again to grow again. You were saved by the blood of Christ to mature in Christ. You were redeemed to reflect your Redeemer. I believe it's time to grow up. Where's my buddy? Where's my little nephew? Come on up, Izzy. Izzy's going to help me for a minute. Look at him. He's so excited to hang out with Uncle. Come here, big boy. Stay close, Dan. We'll see how this guy does. Yeah? You want to try it? Okay. Yeah. Listen, I had the privilege to spend a lot of time with Izzy over the last couple months and got to babysit him a lot. We had such fun together, didn't we? Yeah, we did. We totally did. And you know what I learned? Because it's been a while since I've had a baby. Babies, there's a couple things about babies. We're going to talk about some attributes of babies that when it comes to being a Christian are not good. But there are some things about babies that are okay. Babies are dependent, right? We just said that. And that's good. That's a good thing. A baby can't feed themselves. They can't do anything. This kid, God bless him, can't do anything by himself but make a mess, right? Mom and dad are like, yeah, that's the truth, right? They can't do anything. They need everybody else. They can't change. They sure can't clean. They can't protect themselves. That's on the parents or the uncles or aunts. That's on them. They depend on someone else for everything, don't you, buddy? You need me, don't you? Yeah. You need mommy and daddy. And spiritually, church, that's where we all begin, just like this guy. Okay? We depend on the grace of God. Always, by the way. That never goes away. We rely on the prayers of other people. And that's important, too. I hope people don't stop praying for me. We need the Word of God fed to us through preaching and through discipleship. We're dependents, right? We're dependents. That doesn't go away. This sermon is not a sermon about it's time to grow up to where you don't need God anymore. To where you're so spiritually mature that you don't need other believers anymore. That's not the sermon today at all. We are called to be dependent. Yes, John 15:5, Jesus said, for without me, ye can do nothing. Dependence isn't weakness. I don't look at Izzy, who needs to be changed and fed, like, what a weakling. what a baby. Yeah, of course, he is a baby. Listen, dependence as a Christian isn't weakness. It's wisdom when it's directed toward the right source. Spiritual growth doesn't mean you outgrow your need for God. That never goes away. You always, always, always need God. It means you recognize that need more than ever. That's spiritual maturity. Listen, babies are dependent. Babies also, they love their parents. Don't you love daddy? Wave, daddy. Yeah. See, mommy? See if you can see how good your eyes say. See mommy way in the back? He's like, no, I just see dad. Oh, there he sees her. Yeah. Babies love their parents, and that's good too. They want to be around them. One of the sweetest sights is what you just saw with this little guy and the big smile. It's precious. They crave that closeness. And by the way, that's how we should feel about our Heavenly Father, right? That we want to be close. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. We want to be close to God. We should crave his presence. We should crave his word. We should crave his will. But just like in a family, guess what? Izzy's not going to get carried around like this forever, is he? No. In fact, even now, he's already getting to that point when I'm like, wow, you're heavier than you were 5 months ago. A baby loves their parents for comfort, but when they become an adult, they love them and they talk to them for that character that they see in them. I'm not calling my dad asking him to pay all my bills or drive me around or make my meals, my mom. No, I'm calling them because I want to talk to them, because I love them, because I look up to them still. They're not doing everything for me, but I still want to be close to them. That doesn't go away. Mature Christians don't love God just for what he gives. They love him for who he is. But that being said, church, it's still time to grow up. Babies can be dependent, and so should we. Babies. Am I done? Yeah, you wanted me to hold you the whole time, don't you? Oh, my goodness, I'm glad my kids are walking. Woo, amen to that. Thank you, Izzy. Great job, buddy. Give Izzy a big hand. Yes, too cute. He's the church mascot. Yay, okay. I love it. Babies are cute, aren't they? But it's not cute when an adult still acts like one, is it? Some believers never mature past the nursery stage. They're saved, but they're not sanctified. They don't really want to grow. They're forgiven, but they're not formed. They just want to stay in that immature zone. So this morning, we're going to talk real quick. This is not the meat of the message yet, but this is just kind of introduction still. We're going to talk about some behaviors that are fine for a baby, but not for a believer who's supposed to be growing. I have four babies, okay, that I got to raise with my precious wife, and she did most of the raising, but I still was there helping however I could. And there's some things you know about babies, and if you're a parent or a grandparent or been around kids, you understand this. There's some things about babies that you can kind of see in other Christians and people, maybe even in yourself this morning. Because by the way, the sermon today is not about everybody else. It's about us. Babies cry at everything, don't they? Now, he was really good right there. I've seen Izzy raise the roof, okay? My kids have raised the roof with their wailings, all right? If you've been around babies, you know they cry when they're tired. They cry when they're hungry. They cry when they're bored. They cry when they're mad. They cry when they want attention. It's part of their immaturity. We don't really get necessarily, maybe it can be a little grating sometimes, but we expect babies to cry. That's normal. They express every discomfort with tears and with crying. But spiritually, there are Christians who should know better, who've been saved for a while, who've had the Spirit of God in their heart for a long time, that they do the same thing. They whine, they complain, they pout every time something doesn't go their way. I have been that baby Christian, some that immature Christian sometime, when it seems like everything that happens in my life, I have something to find negative about it. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You can't grow if you're always grumbling. You won't. Complaining is the language of immaturity, where everything is just, nothing is good enough. There's always a problem. Complaining is the language of immaturity. Gratitude is the language of growth. We just sang about gratitude. Gratitude, finding the good in everything, trusting God with it all. A mature Christian understands that discomfort in your life doesn't mean that God's abandoned you. No, it means he's developing you. Mature Christians understand that. When you grow up, you learn to praise instead of pout. You learn to worship instead of whine. Growth doesn't come from comfort. No, it comes from consistency. Babies cry at everything, and unfortunately, some Christians do too. Babies get into things that they shouldn't, don't they? Oh, yeah. You can't leave a baby alone for very long. They'll have their hands in the dog food bowl. They will have their crayons colored all over the wall. Your toddler, they'll have fingers in the outlet. They don't know what's good for them yet. They are learning, which is why it's our job as parents to protect them, guide them, and teach them, and in some cases, discipline them so they know, hey, you can't touch the hot stove. Listen, if I don't stop you, you're going to get punished anyway by the stove. Babies get into everything that they shouldn't, and immature Christians do the same thing. They have no filter. They wander into relationships. They wander into activities that a Christian should not be a part of. They wander or allow influences in their life that stunt their spiritual growth. They just get into things that they shouldn't. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Romans 13:14, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Babies get into things they shouldn't, but so do immature Christians. That means we are called to guard what we watch. We are called to guard what we listen to, what we fill our mind with, what we scroll through, who we let speak into our life. Babies don't know boundaries, but mature believers do. If you want to grow as a Christian, you can't feed your spirit on junk. Listen, babies getting everything. Mature Christians shouldn't. You can't claim to love Jesus and want to serve Jesus and give Jesus my life to do whatever. Lord, I want to make room for you to do whatever you want to. You can't claim that and constantly play in the devil's sandbox. It doesn't go together. Babies get into things they shouldn't. So do some Christians. Babies make a mess and don't care. And they don't really, they shouldn't care. You've seen the videos online. Maybe you've lived the videos online where the parent comes in the bathroom and the kid's got the baby powder all over them or the lotion all over their face or the kid's covered in peanut butter. That, thank God, never happened to us, I don't think, to that extent where the kid is completely covered in peanut. But it's happened. Kids make a mess and they don't recognize the mess that they've made, especially when they're Izzy's age. They don't know they did something wrong. They're babies. They don't get it. They make a mess and they don't care. They don't clean them up, that's for sure. They don't care who steps in the mess that they made. And spiritually immature Christians, maybe some in the room today, do the same. They make messes in relationships. They make messes with their attitudes. They make messes of their testimony. And they just shrug it off. People think of me that way? Must be them. Babies make a mess and they don't care. Psalm 51, David, who was in sin and exposed, now has a repentant and convicted heart. And he says in Psalm 51:10, King David says, "Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Maturity means caring about how your actions affect others. Let me say it again for the people in the back. Maturity means caring about how your actions affect others. It means being quick to repent, quick to apologize, and quick to make changes. Babies make a mess and don't care. Christians shouldn't be that way. If you hurt someone, own it. If you sin, confess it. If you fail, learn from it. You don't grow by pretending you're perfect. Nobody does. You grow by admitting when you're not. That's growth. Babies blame everybody else. Remember, I was a kid. My parents would have a family Christmas party every year. And I was like 12 or 13. I wasn't a toddler. But my cousin's son, little kid, nephew, I don't even remember his name really. I never met him. He was in my basement with all the football tables. And I don't know, he must have ran to the wall or something like that. He did something stupid and just hurt himself and was freaking out, making a big scene. And I'm like, I don't even know what happened. And his dad runs up, "Oh, what's wrong, son? What's going on?" And this kid, who I don't even know, is sobbing, being so overdramatic, okay? And he points to me and says, "It was him." I'm like, "What are you talking about, bro? I didn't even do anything." Listen, babies blame everybody else. We got four brothers for my kids, four boys. You don't think in 14 years of raising kids that I haven't seen the blame game? Who broke it? Who did it? It's never them. I mean, it was the dog. It was Fenway. It was a golden doodle. He can't defend himself. Or they'll say it was Seth, who's nonverbal autistic. He can't say he didn't do it. They don't care. They'll blame anybody else. It wasn't me. It was my brother. And by the way, immature Christians do the same thing. Well, if my wife would just do this, or if my husband would just help out around more, or it's the church's fault, they just don't care. It's my pastor's fault. He did this. It's my boss's fault. Hey, it's my past. What happened to me? That's the reason. And we blame everything else. Growth begins when you stop making excuses and start taking ownership. Amen. Yes. Galatians 6:5, every man shall bear his own burden. We all got baggage. We all got stuff. We all have an annoying boss. Although mine's pretty great if she's listening online. Okay? Listen. I'm telling the truth too. But listen, we all do. We all have a past. Okay, our spouses are not perfect. Stop blaming everybody else. Mature believers, stop saying, "Why is my life so hard?" And start saying, "Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this?" That's spiritual maturity. When you take responsibility for your walk with God, okay, listen, when you take responsibility for your walk with God, you'll start walking stronger. Babies blame everybody else. Children, this is more for toddler age when they're starting to talk. They don't think before they speak, do they? Oh, my goodness. We all got stories, don't we? Oh, yeah. Mercy just said Brady. Yeah. at Disney, we're at a restaurant, and the waiter comes up to our big family. Is everything great? And you know, what do you say? Oh, yeah, everything's great. Everything's fine, blah, blah, blah. And as he's walking, Brady says, I hate the green apples. Charlie, in the store, there was a very large person that must have dropped something and bent over up the aisle. And Charlie, what did he say? Oh, wow. In the next aisle we go, right now, as fast. Children don't think before they speak. They speak before they think. And so do immature Christians. They gossip. They criticize. They react in anger, and they wonder why their relationships always seem to fall apart or not be that strong. James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I preached a message on that verse when I was a youth pastor to my teenagers. Swift to hear, I said, listen up. Slow to speak, I said, shut up. And slow to wrath, lighten up. So listen up, shut up, and lighten up. That's how we're supposed to live. James 1:19, maturity means putting your mouth under the control of the Holy Spirit. I'm not just going to say whatever I want because it's the truth and I have a right to say what I want because it's the truth. No, stop. Just stop. Your words can either heal or hurt. They can either build or break. They can bless or burden. You get to decide. No one's making you say stupid things. No one's making you say rude things. No one's making you say inconsiderate things. That's on you, and that's on your immaturity. A growing Christian learns to speak with grace, not gossip. With love, not judgment. Kids speak before they think. Christians should not. They need to think. Let's think. Let's run what we're about to say or post or text through the lens of the fruit of the Spirit and the whole, and if it's going to line up. And most of the time, it's not going to. We need to get back to typing something out and then being like, I'm not sending that. That's rude. I'm acting in the flesh right now. We have to. So we see what the babies do that we shouldn't do. So I don't want to leave you with that. So now we're going to jump right into, as we finish up, how to grow up spiritually, though. We've talked about all the things that immature Christians do. So what can we do? Growth doesn't happen by accident. I said that today in our membership class. Growth doesn't happen by accident. You don't wake up one morning spiritually mature. Oh, wow, look how far I've come. No. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes discipline. It takes desire, like Paul said, like Peter said in the verse. They desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. It takes growing pain sometimes. It kind of hurts to grow. My son Charlie is getting taller and he's like, man, my legs are hurting. It's growing pains. So how can we grow up spiritually? Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the word. That means want it. That means crave it. That means feed on it. You grow as a Christian through habits of holiness by applying what you hear and walking in the word. So we're going to take that same illustration of the baby and talk about how they grow. What are some things that they grow? How do they grow? And Bob, I have the points for these now. And by the way, great job on the slides. Thank you so much, Donald. Here's what spiritual maturity looks like in action. Number one is this, and here's the challenge for you. Number one, start walking. Start walking. When a baby takes those first steps, and Izzy's almost there. He is close. He's on the couch, kind of shuffling his way down. And I'm like, oh, he's really close. He's getting really close to taking those first steps. I remember when my boys, we have videos for some of them of their first steps, and it's so exciting for a parent. When they take those first steps, the parents cheer. Sometimes we cheer so loud we scare them and they fall over. When they're learning to walk, they fall a lot at first, but they get back up because they're ready to get moving. And as Christians, Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. To walk spiritually means to live by faith daily. It's learning to obey God even when you don't understand. Start walking. You're going to stumble sometimes. Hey, you're going to lose your balance, yes. But each time you get back up, you're growing stronger. Stop waiting for somebody to carry you. You're past that stage. We want everybody to do everything for us. We want to be careless. Could you imagine if my mom and dad came to visit and then they walked to church, my dad holding me like a baby? That would be weird. That wouldn't make sense because I'm an adult. I'm a grown-up. But Christians, we don't want to walk. We want to push around our little spiritual stroller. Okay, we want to be in our spiritual crib and everybody take care of us. No, it's time to start walking. It's time to take steps of faith on your own. Hey, you read your Bible. You pray daily. You tithe faithfully. You serve willingly. It's time for you to start walking. You don't learn balance by staying in the crib. Listen. You learn by getting on your feet and trusting God with the next step. That's how you learn. You start walking. Time to start walking. Some of you have been carried long enough. It's time to say, you know what? No. By the way, I'm not talking about God. Sometimes God does carry us. We'll talk about that. But I'm talking about you depending on everybody else in your life to do everything for you. Spiritually, stop. It's time to start walking. Number two, it's time to start eating real food. Izzy's been into the zone of the baby foods, right? I got to feed him many times with that spoon. It's fun. Especially if it's a nasty veggie that they don't want. That's even more fun as an uncle. You're like, oh, he doesn't like it. I'm going to get it in there anyway. Yeah, you know. Yes, but at some point, the bottles are not enough. The milk is not enough. It's great. They need it when they're young. Yes, as babies. But as they grow, you're not going to see Israel at 15 walking around with a little baby bottle on his side, taking one. No, that's not how it works. You need meat. And as a Christian, you need solid, nourishing truth. Hebrews 5:12 says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. And in verse 14 it says, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. There are Christians that only want the dessert verses, the milk bottle verses, the verses that say, oh, the Lord's going to bless you, and oh, I can do all things through Christ. And by the way, every one of those verses, every word of God is pure, every verse is wonderful. But there are verses that are going to make you, that are going to hurt you a little bit. They're going to step on your toes. They're going to cause you to make changes and adjustments that you don't feel, that your flesh doesn't want to make. You can't avoid those scriptures. Hey, you can't avoid hard biblical truth that makes you feel uncomfortable. You need meat as a Christian. You can't live on milk. You can't live on baby bottles spiritually. No, it's time to start eating real food. It's time to start listening and hearing and heeding to the hard truth about your sin, about your pet sin that you can't get rid of, about surrender, about holiness. It's time to start eating real food, people. Real growth comes when you start digesting what's difficult. I'm not giving Izzy steak, by the way. And if you're a brand new Christian, brand new saved, I don't expect you, and no one else, and the Lord doesn't expect you to know everything. You're learning. But if you've been saved for any length of time, and you're not growing, and you don't want to have some of that hard truth, it's time to start eating real food. When you let conviction cut deep, when you let the Word challenge you, that's where growth comes in. Don't live off somebody else's spoon. Okay? Feed yourself. Time to start eating real food. Feed yourself. Don't be the only spiritual food you get is the 30 minutes you hear me on a Sunday morning. You've got to get in the Word. You've got to get in the Word of God. You've got to study the Bible. You'll never grow stronger than your spiritual diet. So it's time to grow. It's time to start eating real food. Number three is we're moving through. Start talking. Oh, I know some parents are like, oh man, I was kind of nice when they couldn't talk though, wasn't it? Now they're all their dad, mom, dad. No, it's exciting, those first words. You know, mama, daddy, for Izzy, it was uncle. He said, uncle, when he was like 3 months old. Yes, Marissa, don't listen to Marissa. I was there. I heard him. People say it was a cough. No, he would say, uncle. Wow, amazing. It's a miracle. Start talking. Listen, when babies learn to talk, they start repeating what they hear most. Have you been around someone, baby that starts talking, and the baby suddenly curses, and you're like, oh, I wonder what mom and dad say all the time at home, you know? They start repeating what they hear most. That's why what we feed their ears matters. And when you grow spiritually, listen, when you grow and mature spiritually, your speech starts sounding more like your father's. You start speaking truth. You start speaking hope. You start speaking grace instead of negativity and fear. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't stay silent about your salvation. Hey, tell people what God's done for you. Encourage others. Speak life over your circumstances. It's time to start talking. It's time to stop being a baby, immature Christian that doesn't want to tell anybody the truth of the gospel, that doesn't want to make someone uncomfortable by talking about God. No, it's time to start talking. Your voice can point someone else to Jesus, but not if you never open your mouth. Mature believers don't just live their faith. They share it. So it's time to start talking. It's time to start talking using the voice that God gave you. And lastly is this, Get yourself ready. I'll tell you, there's something exciting as a parent, as a dad, when my kids have gotten to an age when there's a lot of things that they don't need me to do anymore. Now, there is some sadness in that. We've talked about that a little bit, like as they're growing and they're not as dependent. They still need you for so many things. But those little things, like holding their hands when they cross the street and then suddenly they don't need you. You're like, what's going on, bro? Come on, man. Still cars going by, but they're getting to an age. They pick up their clothes sometimes, although some of you are like, yo, you, that's terrible. That doesn't match. Go back, you know. But there does come a point, okay, when they're little, yes, someone has to pick their clothes, pack their lunch, tell them exactly what to do. But adults are supposed to get themselves ready for the day. Okay, Marissa's not picking up my clothes. She's not even my parent, but I pick up my own clothes now. Marissa cooks deliciously, but she works too. I'm not sitting around, well, no one's going to cook for me. I guess I can't eat. No. There are times as a mature person, as an adult, you take care of yourself. And God expects us to do the same. Ephesians 6:11, you know what it says? It says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It doesn't say, let your spouse put on your armor for you. Or let your pastor make sure he helps you get your armor on. No. It says you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hey, can I say this? You're not going to like it. Stop waiting for someone to motivate you. Stop waiting for somebody to beg you to live for God. Stop waiting for somebody to remind you that there's church tomorrow. Make sure you're at church on a Sunday. You've got to stop letting everybody else push you along. It's time for you to get yourself ready. It's time for you to get up and get dressed for the spiritual battle that you are in. There's nothing you can do about it. You live in spiritual warfare. The devil hates you. He hates your stinking guts. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy your testimony. And for some reason, we don't really care as much as we should. So we want everybody else to do everything for us. No, it's time for you to get up and get that armor on and put on truth and put on righteousness and get ready to live for God today. Get yourself ready. Listen, as a pastor, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to remind you. Yes, that's my job. I want to lead you and help lead you spiritually. But at the end of the day, you know this. I can't do everything for you. And as the church grows, I can't keep up with everybody. So it's time for you, Christian, that's supposed to be growing, to get yourself ready. Don't wait for someone else to pray for you. And by the way, we're always going to pray for each other. Hey, pray for yourself. I just need prayer. Have you prayed? I just need prayer. Are you talking to God about this? Or are you just complaining to me? Hey, I'll pray for you every day of the week. But are you praying yourself? It's time to get yourself ready. Don't wait for someone else to serve. Man, I wish we had some more help with that. How about you step up? Don't wait for someone else to fix things. Man, if they just... Listen, I know we're kind of on the fritz, but I'm waiting for them to call me and apologize. Oh. You be the example. Get yourself ready. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Listen, I love preaching. I believe God cares. I believe God is with me. I believe God is love. And then there's sometimes I'm going to preach. I believe it's time to grow up. I believe it's time to grow up. Mature Christians don't need constant prompting. They're already prepared. So it's time to start growing, church. It's time to start walking. Yes, time to start taking those steps. Stop waiting for somebody to carry you. Stop waiting for someone to push you in your stroller. No, it's time for you to start taking steps of faith. It's time for you to start believing God and believing what He says and acting on it. It's time for you to start walking. You've been at Coastline for a while. I hope that you're taking steps of faith. It's time for you to start talking and using that voice God gave you to share His goodness, to share your testimony, to share His grace, to share His love. It's time to guard what you say and start talking. It's time to start eating real food. You're getting all your spiritual Your spiritual diet is a few worship songs during the week and pastor's sermon on Sunday. Hey, that's not enough. You're going to starve yourself spiritually. You need to get in the Word. You need to be a student of the Bible. You need to pray. You need to get a hold of God and call on God and ask God for grace and ask God for wisdom. Hey, I can't do it for you. You've got to start eating real food. You've got to start getting yourself ready. Oh, I'm going to preach. I'm going to encourage, I'm going to love you, I'm going to remind you, but I can't make you do nothing. It's up to you. You've got to get yourself ready. You've got to make a decision in your heart as a believer, as a child of God. I am going to live for God. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm not going to walk by sight. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to love Him. I'm going to love other people. I'm going to give my heart to Him. I'm going to get myself ready and not let someone else just constantly push me along. No, I'm doing it. I'm getting myself ready. I'm getting myself ready. Listen, we need to grow up. I believe it's time to grow up. And I want to say this because I fear that it can get lost in the mix if I'm not careful about talking about getting ourselves ready. And you do this, you do this. We need God. Okay? This message is not a message that says, if you just try a little bit harder, then you're going to be a great Christian. That's not what I'm saying. Even grown-ups still need their father. Even now, as a 36-year-old man, I need my dad. I'll call him for advice. I'll call him to vent. I'll call him sometimes just to hear his voice. Even grown-ups still need their dad. It's okay. No matter how much you grow spiritually, and you should grow spiritually, no matter how much you grow spiritually, you'll never outgrow your need for your Heavenly Father. Psalm 73:26, the psalmist says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Spiritual maturity doesn't mean independence from God. It means deeper dependence on Him. The more you grow, the more you realize you're not doing this for God per se, you're doing it with God. The sermon is about you growing spiritually. Maybe in a nutshell, it's less dependence on everybody else to guide you and to do everything for you in a deeper dependence on God, where God gives us the strength to do what we need to do. God doesn't make me read my Bible, but the more I know Him and the more I love Him makes me want to. God's not going to make me pray. God's not going to reach His hand down at 5:30 a.m. and shake me and say, hey, time to wake up. You need to talk to me, remember? You said you wanted to. Come on, get up. Hey, come on, get up. The guy's not doing that. But the more I see God working in my life, the more situations that I come across in my life where I recognize, wow, I need God. It sometimes pushes me to get on my phone and say, all right, alarm tomorrow. I don't have to technically get up till Donald's got to be to school for 8. So if I get up at 7:25, no, but like, say, you know, maybe I do need to sit a little bit earlier. I need to talk to God. God's not going to make you grow. But the more you depend on Him, know Him, and love Him, oh, that growth will come naturally. I love my boys. I'm not a perfect dad. I wish I was a perfect dad like God, our Father. I'm not. But I want to love my boys so much and let them know they're loved and let them know that I care for them and let them know that I'm there for them and cultivate that relationship with them with grace and love and firmness sometimes so that they want to be close to me, so that they do depend on me. I'm teaching my boys independence. I'm trying my best to teach my boys. Donald's been doing his laundry, doing a great job with it. I'm trying to teach my boys as they get older to take care of certain things for themselves, because that's what it's supposed to do as a parent. Teaching them how to be an adult so they can survive on their own. They don't need me to do every single thing for them when they grow up. But I hope they call me. I think they will. I hope they still come home for Christmas. I think they will because of that relationship. So it is time to grow up, Christian. It's time to grow up. Listen, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's time to move from crawling to walking. It's time to move from milk to meat, from being carried to carrying others. Growth is not optional, church. It's essential. It's essential. You were born again to grow up in the image of Jesus Christ. So stop settling for spiritual infancy. Start walking. Start feeding on real food. Start speaking. Start talking and start getting yourself ready. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read one scripture and we're going to pray and be done with the sermon. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says this, and it goes right with what I'm saying. Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's time to grow up. It's time to stop pouting. It's time to stop whining about every single thing that happens. It's time to just grow up a little bit. Put your big boy pants on, tighten that belt a little bit, and live for God. He's not going to call you to something you can't do without Him, I'm saying. You need to grow. And it's time to grow. Because the Christian who grows up in faith, who grows up in faith and grows their faith, becomes the believer who stands up and lives for Jesus Christ. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.